Welcome to Classical Baddies. My name is Sophia.
My name is Katie.
And I'm Yusha. And today we're going to be talking about some popular classical music that you've probably heard everywhere.
Whether that be in commercials or TV shows and movies or in the mall.
Yeah, and if you want to use a classical piece of music, it's good to know what it means. I'm sure we could make many, many episodes of this because classical music gets used wrongly all the time. People just hear a pretty melody and decide it goes on top of everything from a car commercial to a jewelry commercial to someone's funeral, you know? It's used for everything.
We are going to start this off with arguably the most recognizable piece of classical music. All classical musicians are sick of hearing it and definitely sick of playing it. Pachelbel's Canon in D.
Everyone probably saw that coming, I think. In case you didn't know what it sounds like, here it is for you. Everyone recognizes that, right? Do I need to play much more of it?
There.
I think that's good enough.
It's very peaceful. This is, so let's credit the orchestra. Okay. Yes, this is from like a relaxation. This is a relaxation version, apparently.
Amazing.
Yeah, but this one, you see it at so many weddings use this. And it's, I guess, it's very versatile. So I very much understand the appeal to it because you can literally drone that beginning on for hours if necessary, you know?
Well, I mean, it's also like in so many commercials and things
too. And recently Maroon 5 did take a significant chunk out of it.
Yeah.
Literally took the melody, and I mean, the looping chord pattern underneath is the most basic chord pattern there is. It's not, you can't really make a claim on that for an originality. Lots of pieces of music use that exact same chord pattern and like bass line. It's just the most recognized.
Well, and then like, why is it so popular? Like, why did it become so popular?
Because I did look this up because I was trying to figure out like if there was too much of a meaning behind it, because a lot of people speculate that it is actually written for a wedding, but there's absolutely nothing to prove that. And it just kind of sounds like an attempt for people to justify using it for their weddings.
Like, not to diss Pachelbel. Like, you know.
Yeah.
He does well, but like, you know, why?
Yeah, it's why put all those poor musicians through it. It's not a bad piece of music. It's just, it's so overused and oversaturated. Apparently people like credit it back to Princess Diana's wedding that became so popular, but she never actually used it. Apparently they used something similar. Well, I mean, despite being not meant for not originally written for weddings. So I think this is probably like the least offensive misuse out of the bunch is Pachelbel's Canon in D.
I don't know about that. I know a lot of angry musicians that never want to hear Canon in D again.
I know, I can't listen to it. I struggle to listen to it.
Oh, I went to like an old like high school, like I went back to my high school for like a Christmas performance concert, whatever. And they'd done like a vocal rendition of Canon D. And I was like, why? Why am I here? What's happening?
I think that's a piece of music we can comfortably say there are enough versions of it. We don't need any more.
Okay, so next is another very, very famous piece that I'm sure you all know. And it's Eine kleine Nachtmusik by Mozart. And again, if you don't know what it sounds like, here it is. It's a bop.
I know, if they could see us, they'd see us dancing to Eine kleine Nachtmusik.
Yes, maybe one day we'll give you guys a behind the scenes of what we look like while we're recording these. But once again, that is used in so many different commercials and movies and random things. And it's just like, just kind of thrown in there. It's just like a chamber piece that Mozart's done, but It's in everything. And, you know, I think Mozart's music is probably one of the most commonly used ones. You know, yeah. His music is always thrown into commercials and random things.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, if, like, some person off the street knows one classical composer, it's Mozart, guaranteed.
Yeah, definitely.
Or Beethoven.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they've seen Amadeus, then they definitely know Mozart. I feel like that's why he became
everyone,
so red.
Everyone watched that in, like, music class in, like, elementary school. You had music class in elementary school.
They just made us play the recorder.
Hot cross buns.
That's two in tune for an elementary school recorder class, Nusha.
Hot cross buns.
Okay.
Hot
our next
cross bands.
Bands.
Oh my goodness. All right. Okay. So, anyways.
Almost got places to be in the background of yours.
10:30 at night and they gotta go.
Noom.
So, I mean, I have, okay, that's kind of funny, I guess. I have heard this song on a car commercial before, and the song that I'm speaking of, it's called Habanera from Carmen, although that is the popular name, and the real name is in French.
L'amour est un oiseau rebelle.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So this song is actually the entrance of the title character for the entire opera, and people use it for cars, they use it for jewelry, and recently I think I saw it for a car where they added rap to it.
Ew. Sorry.
God.
It was quite...
Oh, that's sacrilegious. I'm sometimes people come up with some really cool modern stuff and, like, ways to revamp things. I just had, like, a knee-jerk reaction to that.
But I will not be playing the rap version. Just in case you don't know exactly what I'm talking about, here is the song. Alright, I think that's good. It goes on like that for a little while until she hits more sustained notes. This song is beautiful. It's very popular with mezzo-sopranos. It's one of my personal dream roles. So I've seen this in commercials where men are falling in love with women and women are kind of like, I love you, but I'm gonna play like hard to get. Which I guess people can understand this song as that. However, this song is really just her looking at the soldiers around her and saying, if you love me, like, too bad. Love is a rebellious bird.
Fickle.
And then in the song, what?
Oh, she's saying love is fickle. Like,
yeah.
Like, I could love you today. Maybe not. If you love me, we'll see what happens.
So this song is all about, I don't love you, but, you know, who knows? Wink, wonk. And
yeah, I think I saw this as, like, I feel like it was either, like, a food service or like a movie streaming something, like in a commercial, like something totally random. I feel like this is one that falls under the category of, if they can't think of opera music, this is the one they think of, and they're like, look how classy, it's opera, it's classical music, it's so classy.
A very good opera, I would recommend it, but there are definitely
in Carmen that you needs to be handled with care.
If I can say this, Carmen is like the original sex icon from like the opera world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind
of. If there is a sex icon from the opera world, it's Carmen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very good opera, but this song isn't about being in love and falling in love like perfume commercials may have you believe.
Jewelry commercials. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the other one that tends to get tossed around as like, I can't think of any other classical music, so we're gonna throw it on anything, is the Queen of the Night. And I'm gonna play the really famous part. Thank you, Diana Damrow. But yeah, again, this is one that if they want random classical music, again, perfume commercials, like jewelry, and those tend to be like frequent offenders. Same thing with, actually, I haven't seen a car commercial with Queen of the Night, although something in me tells me it exists for some reason.
It must.
And this one comes from the point in the opera where the Queen of the Night is raging at her daughter to kill her rival, or she'll get disowned. And I think part of the lyrics are, "The fires of hell can't contain the rage in my heart," are the lyrics. So not really romantic in any way, shape, or form. And it just doesn't fit. And it's one of those that when you, as a, like an opera singer especially, when you see it being used like that, it's like, come on, man. You couldn't have, whoever put this commercial together couldn't have spent like 5 more minutes of research. Just 5. Soul with
Tia. Yeah.
The next piece that we will be talking about, actually more specifically I will be talking about, is
Ofoof.
Ofoof. Sorry. The piece that I will be talking about is O Fortuna from Carmina Burana, and it's angry. Sounds angry. Unfortunately, I can't play it for you due to copyright reasons because the composer has not been dead for 50 years.
Come on, Orf.
That's
sorry.
Very dark, but it's true. And because it's still under copyright law, we can't play it for you.
Would you like to sing it for us then?
Da 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 da
da
da da da da da da da da da da da. Oh God! I think we all forget that we're on ZenCaster, and this is gonna be very off time with each other.
It'll be like dun 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 dun. Perfect. Yes, but this song has been used for, I think I've definitely seen it for, like, cars or, like, manly commercials, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, anytime they want to put high drama in anything.
Yeah, like something super intense and dramatic and, yeah.
I feel like movie trailers have stolen it, too, like, when they haven't come up with their own soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely use it for, like, explosions. Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah. To make it super, super dramatic. And I mean, I understand why they use this for dramatics in media, because here's just the first stanza of the poem that this song is set to. O fortune, like the moon you are changeable, ever waxing, ever waning. Hateful life first oppresses and then soothes, playing with mental clarity, poverty and power. It melts them like ice. So it's a fairly dramatic poem.
Lamenting fate.
Carmina Burana as a whole, I think it's like a set of secular poems. And they range from like flirting to this to that. So like, it's not really, I mean, it's dramatic, but it's not like a moment of death kind of situation, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the interesting thing about that, about Carmina Burana as well, is it's a whole performance art piece. Like, there are meant to be dancers and it's all choreographed with effects and things like that. Like, it's specifically meant to be performed a certain way.
Mm. Yeah.
So sticking it in random movies kind of does a disservice to Orf, but...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it does. And this song is both the opening and the closing of the entire cantata.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it gets more dramatic in the second rendition at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Reprises.
And big, yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
And then we circle back to... Circle back. Well, yeah, we circle back to Mozart again. So it's his third piece that we're talking about. And to his duet, Sullaria, from La Notte di Figaro, or like The Marriage of Figaro. And in case you haven't heard it or you don't know what it sounds like. Very slow version. So basically, this one is used quite often just when speaking about, it's just kind of more in the background of chill moments or moments where people are in a fancy household where classical music's meant to be playing in the background, or you know, the amount of times I've heard that.
I think I've seen it in a paper towel commercial.
Really? What?
I believe so, yeah.
That's weird. But I know that one of its most famous locations, I guess, in modern media is in Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, I remember that scene. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's basically a part where Morgan Freeman's speaking and he says, like, to this day, like, I still will never know, like, what those two Italian ladies were talking about, but it was so beautiful, and so, like, it changed my life, and something like that. But what's really happening is that the Countess and Susanna, they're scheming to trick the Countess's husband, Count, and so that she can expose him for cheating.
Yeah.
So it's nothing beautiful. Like, the music is beautiful. It sounds amazing and gorgeous. But the actual content of the piece is, like, all sneaky and conniving. And it just totally doesn't match with what people think it is.
Yeah, no, totally. I love that when he's like, how makes think about life and gave me hope. And it's, we're going to trick my husband. Yeah, better watch himself because he's a cheater.
And yeah.
Trying to force Susanna to sleep with him. Whew.
By calling in, like, what the what's it called? Feudal rights or something like that? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, like an old feudal right that lets him sleep with the bride on the first night.
Take over the husband's, like, right to sleep with his wife on the first night. The Count can technically take that. And, like, at first he'd, like, given it up earlier, but then when, like, he realized, like, Susanna's gonna marry him, he kind of wanted her. He's like, actually, I'm gonna do it still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I lied. I'm actually going to sleep with your wife now. All right.
Well, and, like, the whole beginning of the opera is, like, Figaro is, like, totally oblivious. He's like, wow, what a great room the Count gave us. It's right between his room and the Countess's room. How perfect. I'm close to my boss and you're close to your boss. How considerate of them. And Susanna's like, do you understand why? Do you get what's about to happen, Figaro?
Excuse me, sir?
All right, and I think last but not least, I'm just going to play it because I think we all know it. Nope, wrong section of the song. Come on.
I think you all know it. It plays the non-popular portion of the song. Yeah.
Right, that's the little line I think that everybody recognizes. And again, this one is just one of those that's an offender and, like, it just gets played all the time. And it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. And I understand why it's so popular. And that was Leontine Price's version of it. A really beautiful version of it. And it's literally a Hail Mary. Like, it's the Hail Mary prayers in Latin set to words. Also, people in the popular whatever, I was going to say popular lexicon, but I don't know if that's talking about. Your average person, a lot of people refer to it as an opera song, which, first off, we don't have opera songs. Second of all, it's oratorio.
This is religious.
Yes. Just because it's classically styled doesn't make it opera.
Oh, that's one of the funniest things when people are like, just like they think that everything we do is just opera.
Yeah, I mean,
and, like, that's, like, what's classified as.
Yeah, and Ave Maria, I'm pretty sure is meant to be sung at funerals or at Advent, because it's literally asking for prayers for your sins from Mary, because the first two lines are Hail Mary, full of grace. So you're asking for the grace of Mary. And I see it used as, I know it's used as a Magnificat quite a bit during Advent, before Christmas time.
Yeah.
So just right around the time we're recording this, actually, is when it's appropriate to play it. But people will put it in romantic scenes. They'll put it in really dramatic scenes. Like, I understand more putting it in, like, in a more serious setting, because it's not a happy song. It's very, like, full of divine wonder kind of a feeling, because it's very, very religious.
yeah
These are just a few examples of classical music being used in the media for things that it may or may not click with.
Yeah
So, you know, I'm sure maybe one day we'll make another episode. I like that I said I'm sure and then maybe. One day we'll probably make another episode where we talk about more pieces that are used in media. But for now, that's our list. Thank you guys so much for listening today.
Yeah. If you like our podcast, you can find us on a bunch of different websites, including Deezer, Podchaser, Stitcher, Radio Public, Pocket Casts, Overcast, Breaker, CastBox, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Of course, we are also on Good Pods now.
Yeah, you can find this very comprehensive list on our card site, which is on most of our social media. So Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and we also have a TikTok. Check us out under Classical Baddies, and maybe leave a comment about what you guys want to hear next.
Don't forget to like and rate us on any of these platforms that you can, and let us know if you like us.
Thank you so much for tuning in this week, or whenever you happen to be joining us for this great episode. We all upload on Saturdays, usually. We try our best to upload on Saturdays, so we hope to catch you next week then.
Great. Bye. Bye.